The Plot, Part 4. The following message is the fourth and final message in a series titled The Plot, preached by Brother Amos on Sunday, the 30th of October, 2005, at Assembly of Faith Church, Calhoun, Georgia. The end of this message is missing on the original recording, and Brother Amos has taken great care to maintain the theme of this message, whilst rewriting and editing the final pieces of the chart that God has mapped out for the bride in this seventh and final church age. I just want to try and wrap up my message to this morning on the plot and go into something else this evening, but there are still some things that are material for us to look at when we look at the plot, because it is not finished, but tonight, by the grace of God, we will go into something else. But we want to back up just a little to the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 5, because that is where we stopped yesterday. Revelation 2 verse 5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent." This is the word of the Lord to the Ephesian church in Asia Minor, a local assembly that set the standard, "And repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his," personal, singular, pronoun, "place, except thou repent." Paul has been dead since 66 AD, but here in 96 AD, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is still talking about the present day, present tense candlestick, that is none other than John the beloved apostle. That was the standard bearer, but it lets you know this, the Ephesian church that was established through Paul's ministry, and that bore the standard, the revelation of truths God gave through the chief apostle, Paul, was a POC church. And being a POC church, it had the capacity to receive whatever measure of light the Spirit of Christ will give her. As such, when God raised up another man in the person of John, and John bore the standard as a lead apostle for the hour, after the chief apostle had been taken off the scene for the Gentiles, the church in Ephesus did not push him out. They are the only church to receive continuity revelation, the only lighthouse to move on with the light, the only lighthouse to receive for the light, the only lighthouse to receive a successive standard bearer. And may I say this, Paul died in 66 AD, and the local ministry in the church in Ephesus, the pastors of the local assembly, did not take over and say, "John, how dare you? Who are you?" That was one ministry that subjected itself to the standard-bearing ministry of John. That was the only local ministry you see all through the lighthouse rows, brother, which received continuity revelation and did not try to take over a standard-bearer. But when you leave the first church age, coming on, no lighthouse ministry ever received for the light. None. Every pastor that took over from the standard-bearer of the hour would not let God have his way. Why? Because, brother, once the seed church died, nothing was going to be seed, and nothing would be seed, and nothing would have the attributes of seed, until the very end, when the original seed is reproduced. As such, no lighthouse local ministry could move on, and none moved on, until we get back to pure seed, because they have not the nature of pure seed, not being the pure seed, even though they were carriers of the life of the seed. That is why I said I wanted to share a message with you, a message I already took back home, titled The POC Church. But I realized in the meetings, the way it was going, I might not be able to do it because of time. So I decided to inject a thought and build it into this message, just to give you a little insight. But when you look at the Ephesian church, because it was a POC church, the ministry in the church in that day and hour was also a pure seed ministry. Therefore, being a pure seed ministry, they were able to embrace what God was doing to bring about continuity revelation, and they received John, and submitted themselves to the headship and leadership of Apostle John. And that is precisely why in 96 AD, the Spirit of the Lord was giving them a warning, because we saw the influence of the Antichrist spirit, barging, knocking the door, trying to get in. And Jesus was giving a warning to the bride of Christ of the trial of time. The Spirit of God was telling them, "You are losing your first love, and you have got to repent, because if you don't do it, I will remove my candlestick." That is John. But church, around 97 AD, he was released from the Isle of Patmos, And that was when they received John's prophetic book. He came back to the very place he left. He came to Ephesus, because from around 65 AD, he had been in Ephesus. By 120, thereabout, just a few short years after he delivered his message, John was called home and the church went under. You know the rest of the story, but I want to say this, for that is why, when I was writing the book, The Way of Every Lighthouse, I said what I said in page 34. I just want to read it. I did not want to put this part or this thought I am now sharing into the book. I left it as something I will simply share with the saints in my sermon. But you would now understand why I made this statement. I said, one thing is obvious thus far. Moving out of the first church age, no lighthouse has ever moved on after the death of the instrument of their movement. None. But I said, coming out of the first age, what does that show you? I am making a distinction. When I say no lighthouse ever moved on, that does not include the Ephesian church. That is the only church that moved on. Why? It was a pure seed church. And may I say this, we are back to seed. This is the day of seed. It is the day of pure seed, because the third move gives you seed. God is perfect in three. You will see the Ephesian church of the end time in its restored glorious spiritual entity come out of oblivion. It will be by the Spirit of God, in the light of God's word. This is the day of seed. I went on and I said, and no lighthouse has ever moved on beyond the revelation that made them a lighthouse. Also, since the original Pentecost seed died out and resurrected, the successive pastoral ministry of the lighthouse that took over from the standard bearer have never moved on to accept and follow God's next move. Never. And that is a fact, a truth laid bare before you this morning. Faith Assembly did not move on, and will not move on. And you cannot shake them out of it even if you wanted to. Because like I said before, until you come to seed, nothing can be seed. You have got to see the plot. Until you come to seed, nothing can be seed. So nothing can bear the image of the seed. A leaf will remain a leaf. A branch will remain a branch. You have got to see the bright tree. You have got to see the plot. You have got to see the plot. That is why it is not possible for them to move on. Now is seed time. This is our day. And when I say it is our day, I mean, this is the day of the bride. This is the day, and this is the hour, of pure seed. It is the pure revelation of the Word of God that will produce seed, and identify seed, because only seeds know what the voice of God is saying today. Only seeds can recognize the voice of truth. Hallelujah. The third move is a finishing move, and it is a move that will bring about perfection of the bride, because three is perfection. This is a move God will use to wrap everything up and show forth His bride. But I want you to see something. When you look at Matthew 13, there Jesus Christ gave the seventh parable, a parable that applied to the seventh church age, speaking about the dragnet, which produced the healing and deliverance movement after World War II, spearheaded by Elijah of his day, William Branham. The gospel net was cast out by men. But by the time the dragnet had accomplished its purpose, the Bible says, men sat down, because that revival began to thin down. Then it was time for Brother Branham's ministry to change, because the dragnet ministry, which was going to be the attraction, had been the attraction. Brother, the supernatural has always been the basis of public attraction. It is a crowd puller. It is the attraction, because Brother Branham did not know where the seeds of God were. But something had to pull everybody. But within the crowd that had been pulled, God was only looking for fish. But when the net was full, men sat down and began to sort it out. Then the hour came for his ministry to change. Enough attraction had been created, and enough seeds had been attracted. And God knew, now I have to separate seeds, because it was now time for the Lord to begin to deal with the elect bright seeds. And there is only one thing that catches the bright seed, and that is the revelation of truth. Then his ministry had to change from the dragnet ministry, born not only by him, but also by other men, evangelists of the era of time, which he spearheaded, because Brother Branham was the head of the healing revival movement. God therefore changed his ministry from the dragnet type ministry into the scribe ministry. Although God still continued to use him in the miraculous, the emphasis now laid in his scribe ministry. What is the scribe ministry? Remember, that is the first scribe move at this end time. It is revelatory. The scribes of the Old Testament were the men legally authorized, licensed, being learned men, to take the Torah, maybe because it was old and worn out, and rewrite it. They knew all the principles involved. They knew everything about it. They knew where a point or a comma should be placed, and copied the document and reproduced it exactly as it was, without changing the scroll format. But the scribes were also men who could take the things of God and put it in perspective for God's people. When we transpose that to the New Testament age, it lets you know this: the scribes are none other than men that are under divine authority to interpret the scriptures. A scribe is none other than a man that God has anointed by his Spirit to give a true revelation of the scriptures. After that, you have no scribe. But I want to say this: there is a divine order for the placing of the scribes at this end time, because the scribes at the end time are not produced in one day. They are produced in divine order. You have got to see the plot. In Matthew 13:52, from verse 51, Jesus said, "Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Verse 52, "Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe. Now, that cannot be one man. You do not use every for one man. That lets you know you are looking at a plurality of men, but it starts with one man who initiates everything. For example, initiates the ministry of scribes. But it does not end with him. Look at what he says. "Therefore every scribe which is instructed, tutored, unto the kingdom of heaven, that is in this grace age, is like unto a man, singular, that is the prophet to this age, William Branham. That is an householder, a possessor of goods, spiritual goods, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, the Bible, things new and old. Every scribe instructed into the kingdom is likened unto that scribe householder." That lets you know, once God initiates the first move through the prophet to this age, William Branham, who is the principal scribe householder at this end time, God was going to use him to raise up other scribes who would be instructed into the kingdom of heaven, just like him. But it means this: every scribe that God would set in place would be men that are like unto the prophet in this one measure. They also would be men that can bring out things from the Bible, old and new, because they are likened to that householder who brings things, old and new truths, from his own treasure. The question then is this: who are the scribes? The truth is, everybody in the fivefold ministry is not a scribe. Forget it. Not everyone in the entire fivefold ministry are scribes. The second scribe set in place by God, after the prophet and through the principal scribe householder, is the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson. But it also means this: if Brother Jackson preached everything, there would be no continuity for this present day, following his death. So when God inspires men, he puts a cap somewhere, that every other ministry God has ordained a scribe may have his own place and have his own input. It is in God's economy that the glory of the Lord God be shared abroad all his own children and all his children. Brother, can reveal God's own glory. Every joint supplies. It is God's provided way. But look at it. Brother Jackson talked about the end time scribes, but he never said who they were, apart from the prophet, the principal scribe householder. He never did. He just applied it to the ministry. But he said they would not all be Americans. Yes, he said that. But he never told us who they were. And once he said that, now we simply assume it is the ministry. Yes, it is the ministry. But what fold of ministry? Who are the scribes? Because, church, the scribes are not produced in one day. And not every fold of ministry make up the scribes. The first scribe and the principal scribe was the prophet to this age. But, church, after him, scribes did not step on the scene at once. Only one scribe was placed on the scene after him. That is the chief apostle. That was the next scribe because that was the second move of God for the end time bride. Raymond Jackson was the next scribe because God was also going to use him to take all we got from the prophet and lay it out for God's children. At that point in time, all the truths we received from the prophet became the old truths, because all we got from the prophet, now in the hour of Brother Jackson, became old, because their truths we already received, truths we already had. But now, because he was going to be a scribe, he also had to have new things, new truths, to add to all we received. That is what manifests his scribeship. That is what shows he is a scribe. Church. And when he was on the scene, God had men he also raised up potentially as scribes. They were to be positioned, but in their own order, and in their own time. Because you must realize, brother, outside Brother Jackson, you had no scribe, except potentially. Because God was going to use the chief apostle to give a true understanding of the end time message to God's people, particularly the ministry, who were going to take over and finish this thing out. But in December 2004, Brother Jackson passed away. So church, now we come to the third move, and the third scribe. It gives you John, an end-time type of John, the beloved apostle, who took over from Paul. So we see John as the lead apostle for this hour. But please note, that there are other apostles, because we are looking at Ephesians 4 ministry, in its establishment, for example in its reality. That is why I said, church, if the early church knew and recognized every man in his calling, in his office, and it was not a boast, it has got to be the same today, because we are talking of spiritual reality. We are not talking abracadabra. We are speaking of spiritual reality. If God promised apostles, ghosts are not going to be the apostles. It will be human beings that God has dealt with. If God promised prophets, chickens will not be the prophets. It will be human beings that you know and identify with. Same for evangelists, same for pastors, same for teachers. They will be as identifiable as one another. But look at the scribes before we move on. Who are the scribes therefore? Let me lay this flat. You do not have a scribe outside of the apostolic ministry. There is no scribe outside of apostles. So do not take the scribes and blanket over the entire fivefold ministry. You are not looking right, because a scribe must have the revelatory grace of God. Don't forget, he is likened unto an householder already, so you already have the standard. The householder hath things old and new by the Spirit, and verse 52 says, every scribe is likened unto that householder. What does that show you? Every scribe would have old and new truths too. He must, to be a scribe. That lets you know, every scribe God would position at this end time, for the bride of Jesus Christ, will be men revelated, anointed, inspired. That is why I said they are men with a message. They will know to the measure God has given it at this end time. They will know to the measure God has done it. They will understand what God is doing today. Brother, they have an eagle eye. They bear a revelation. They have a message. And that message is not only giving us all we have already received, we'll have something new from the Bible, along that line, for the bride. That is why I said they bear a revelation, a message. Yesterday, you saw Peter. You saw his input. He could go into the prophets and bring out nuggets, and lay it precisely where it fitted. You also saw James go there, and he brought out new things, and laid it where it slotted. You even saw J the apostle. Brother, God took him through time, way through time. He saw angels, after they were tested and had fallen, bound in hell, and he brought it out. That was a nugget. He was a scribe. You are looking at scribes. That is why you must see that you do not have a scribe outside of the apostolic ministry. No. So let us get that straight. Church, but men today, like Brother Dave Godvender, are preaching things that do not have any Bible base. They want to make themselves scribes alongside Brother Jackson. The scribes do not occupy the same position and are not established the same time. But these men are trying to preach that all the scribes are already here and that everybody in the ministry is a scribe. That is a lie. It is absolute falsehood. It is a lie that does not flush with the scriptures. Hallelujah. But there are men that God has ordained to be scribes, and church, the scribes will come strictly from the fold of the apostles. It will not be one man. In this third move, we will have all the scribes. This third move will give us all the scribes on the spot, for example, on the ground, and there are things God will use every scribe to give. They will have their input in the bride. It will not be John alone, but there will be all the scribes, because that is the objective of God. But the scribe ministry of John comes right after that of Brother Jackson, with his passing away, and it comes before the establishment of all other scribes. But there will be other scribes. For the glory of God will be revealed through the head, and that head is the apostolic head, and each man in that head will have something, because you must understand how God is putting something together. God has used Brother Jackson to give us an understanding, and we must open our eyes and follow the blueprint, because people are asking, where is the fivefold ministry? Where is the bride? Is there nobody there? I will simply say to you, open your eyes to the scriptures. Place your eyes on the Bible, for in it is your ministry. Do not look out there. God has never been with the majority. In every day and hour, the majority of people following her message, following the truth, have never been in the flow of God. I do not care which age you consider, and I do not care which era you look at, whether the Old Testament era or the New Testament era, the majority have never known what God is doing. It has always been an elected few that do. You know that. So if you see where the majority is standing today, even without any understanding of the Bible, you turn the other way, and you will probably be on the right road. I hope you understand what I mean by the statement. Why do I say that? The masses of people purportedly following the truth have never had a true understanding. It has always been an elected remnant to do. A people that the grace of God has been revealed to. Brothers and sisters, after the death of Brother Jackson, a lot of things have gone on, and the Antichrist spirit has an objective. I must rubbish the last move. I must stand against the last move. I must not let it happen. But all the devil can do is to lay the foundation for the fulfillment of God's plan. That is all he can do. You are not getting me. When he led Jesus to the cross, he was happy doing it. Unknown to him, he was doing precisely God's will, because Christ had to be crucified. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, when Joseph was sold out, because, brother, he had dreams and revelations, for God had a promise upon his life, are you with me? And jealousy stirred the heart of his brothers to tear down his dream, that it may not fulfill. All they could do was lay the foundation for the fulfillment of God's purpose for Joseph. There is nothing any man can do to nullify God's will. God is God. So church, the third move of God is what will produce first, the head. It gives you first the head. The apostolic head, made up of plural apostles. I said it gives you the head, but the head is not formed in one day. It starts today with one man. A man God will give a voice. A man God will use to lift up the message of continuity we have received. Hence, Brother Jackson said, it will start with one man, and they will take somebody's message. That somebody's message is not their message. It is the message of the chief apostle. It is the continuity light. It takes in all we received from the prophet, plus the 39 years of continuity light we also received. That is the message. He said, it will take some men. And they would take somebody's message and begin to put the thing together. He still put it in the future. We have got to look at the plot. We have got to look at the blueprint. Do not listen to chattering squirrels. Listen to the revelation of truth. Then it means this. God will have men, according to the election of grace, that will not bow the knee to bow. There will be men that are faithful. And God will begin to put a vision in their heart, a revelation. An understanding. First, they have to know what the continuity message is. If you do not know what the message is, you cannot tell the difference. Even if it is being perverted, you are not going to see it. All you are going to see is carnal love. And love that puts a child with a rattlesnake in the same car will produce death. because somebody will have to die, and it will not be the rattlesnake egg. You put a viper with a child or a baby in the same cot, and you say, "Coochie, coochie, love one another." You know it is not going to work. Somebody will have to die. It will not be the cobra. No, sir. So true love, divine love, has to have a revelation tempering it. True love is tempered by revelation. When you have love without a revelation, it is not God's love. It is just carnal love. True love is tempered by the revelation of truth. That is what Christ said in John 14. He said, if you love me, you will keep my words. He said, he that hateth me keepeth not my words. That lets you know, true love is determined by your love for truth. That is the truth. So at the end of time, God, after taking away the chief apostle, the door was open for the third and last move. But church, like we said, we have to look at the child God has mapped out in the scriptures for the fulfillment of his will. Simply ask yourself, how did he do it in the early church age? That is the same pattern God is taking today. It is the same route. It is the same route the Lord is following. So we can say this, God starts, like Brother Jackson has said over and over again, this thing will start first with God establishing the apostolic head, and God will in turn use them to start putting the body together. Therefore, it is not going to be something mystical until you cannot recognize that head. The bride will recognize that head. As many as are seeking to walk with God, as many as are seeking to walk pleasing to God, will recognize that head. Because that is the cue for the bride. That is the cue. That is why Brother Jackson said, and when that head begin to come together and speak as one, he said, then people will begin to say, oh, I am going that way. As for me and my family, we are going that way. That obviously shows a new route God has charted, and men can recognize something and are following something because they see the light in it. God used Brother Jackson to make it plain. I wonder why they do not see it. So, we can ask ourselves this morning, how is God going to put this ministry together? That is why I said the men are not going to be raised up. They have already been raised up, but we do not know them. Most of the men are not known to us, because we can only know those in our environment. But a lot of people in our environment bearing the message have been unfaithful. But God is going to have men with faithful hearts, faithful to the revelation of truth, to the will of God, and to the purpose of salvation. Faithful men God will have, because it will take nothing else, other than faithful men, to wrap up this thing. Hallelujah. I am taking it slow for a reason, but I am going to finish the plot this morning, God helping me. But watch. We are in a day people are asking questions, if you people are right, how come you are by yourselves? How come you are alone? How come there are no ministers along that way with you? Look at us. We have many men, and all of us are together. Aha, let me say this. We do not care how many people are together. We only care for who is standing for truth. It does not matter how many people are standing together. What matters is who is standing for truth. Who are the people standing for truth? Do not forget that, because God will not bring out a ministry contrary to the revelation of truth. It is the truth of Christ that will produce the ministry. So, you have got to keep your eyes on the scriptures. If you do not know the men, but your eyes are on scriptures, you will recognize them eventually, because, brothers and sisters, their message will ring out. The continuity truth, the pure revelation they stand for and project, will cause them to stand out. The truth they stand for and project will cause them to stand out, and that will be your cue. Why? It is like Brother Jackson says, some people are looking for rapture, but they go outside looking in the sky for the signs of the rapture. You are wasting your time. If you truly want to look for the rapture, you must bury your head in the Bible. That is how to look for the rapture, because the Bible shows you everything. It is the same way if you want to get to the ministry of this hour, do not look out there. Look in the mirror of the Word of God. Look at the plot, and stay with it. It will give you the true ministry, because no ministry is coming outside of truth. No true ministry comes outside truth. The ministry will come out of the pages of the scriptures, out of the truth. Outside truth, there is no true ministry. So, we look in here. Brother Amos points to the Bible. But church, the third move starts with God positioning the apostolic head. It is not to glorify men. It is the truth that there will be an apostolic head. I said it is not to lift of flesh. If we know Andronicus and Junia and Barnabas and Paul and Apollos and Peter and James and John and Jude, and we know they were not evangelists but were apostles, why would we not know apostles of the end time? Why would we not know them? It is not pride. It is not making any man anything. Let me tell you this morning, because of the opposition, not even Brother Branham or Brother Jackson can give anybody anything. If what you have is not from God, you have nothing. No man can confer a ministry on anybody. No man. The prophet to this age cannot do it. Brother Jackson cannot do it. Do you even know that the men are not being ordained by Jesus himself? It is God that chooses the men. I said it is God that does the choosing. Jesus called men that his Father had shown him. Yes, the mind of God is carried out through his Son, but do not forget the choosing and the calling is still God's. What does that tell you? You cannot give me anything, and I cannot give you anything, but we can recognize something. For the fruit of a man's ministry is what bears him out. The revelation he bears, the impact of his ministry, shows who is he and what is what. That is why Brother Jackson said, if you do not know how to look at an apostle, to be able to determine who is an apostle, how would you be able to determine the other folds? How would you do it? Then I have to say this morning, with God setting John in place, and God establishing the other men that make up the head, once the head is fully in place, that is the cue for other folds. But note, this head is not put together in one day. I said it is not put together in one day. There is a beginning for everything. Shine your eyes. When I say shine your eyes, I mean open your eyes. Because, brother, you do not have to look for smoke and fire. Better look for the still small voice. Because, brothers and sisters, a lot are looking for smoke and fire. God will pass them by. Look for revelation, because brothers and sisters, God could be doing something right before your very eyes, and you may not see it unless God is also dealing with you. I say that because if all you are looking for is the supernatural, truth will pass you by, because the ways of God are very humble. Unless you have a revelated eye, you will not even see God move. Otherwise, I will ask you this. How come Jesus Christ was on the ground before the Jews for a complete 3.5 years, and they are still looking forward to the Messiah? Think about it. Why? They did not know what to look for. I said, they did not know what to look for. But there was an elected remnant that knew what to look for. They knew, you are the Messiah. Hallelujah. It is the same. It is the same today. You have got to know what to look for. But it is the reality we are facing. Come with me to the book of Gideon. I know there is no book called Gideon, but you know I am talking about Gideon this morning. It is the book of Judges. You know if such a statement was made by the prophet, the Branham movement will say, well, that must be a revelation to Brother Branham. For everything he said, they put thus saith the Lord to it. Oh my! The man could not even speak of himself. They had to make it thus saith the Lord. All right. We go to the book of Judges chapter 6. Judges comes after Joshua. Do not close that page, but let us first turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now this is Paul the apostle writing to Timothy, the evangelist. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, who was the soldier that Paul was talking about? That lets you know, spiritually speaking, the ministry of the bride, a man God has enlisted in his own army. That lets you know, the ministry looked upon by God, a soldier's. The army of the bride is the ministry. They are called in the bride's defense. They are placed for the security of the bride, to keep the enemy away, to preserve her life, to keep her safe. Her safety is in the army of God. That is why I said, let us go to Timothy. Now let us go to the book of Judges to see a physical army, a natural army, which set a type of the spiritual army made up of the ministry. We will take Judges 6:36. But remember, the children of Israel set a type of the bride of Christ. Is that right? We are spiritual Israel this morning because we are the royal seeds of Abraham, begotten through Christ. That is what Galatians says in chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Christ was made a curse for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is he that hangs on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles through Christ, and that we, through faith, may receive the gift of the Spirit. So we are the royal seeds of Abraham. We are spiritual Israel. And natural Israel set a type of spiritual Israel. That is why natural Israel has a capital, Jerusalem. And the spiritual Israel also has a capital. It is also called Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The natural city types the spiritual city. And we are children of the city. We are children of the new Jerusalem, not the one that is in Palestine. But the one that comes from above. Hallelujah. Yes. This is Mount Zion, spiritual Mount Zion, the church of the firstborn, with a company of innumerable angels. But there is also a physical Zion there in Palestine. So, let us look at natural Israel in this Bible passage. In verse 33, Gideon is under commission. I want you to see something this morning. God anointed Gideon, and God was going to use Gideon to fight a war, to bring deliverance, and to preserve Israel. God was also going to use Gideon to raise up an army. But remember this, it is not Gideon. It is the spirit of Elohim. It is the spirit of Jehovah in a man, accomplishing his plan and purpose for his people. So, this morning, we want to look beyond a man. We want to look beyond Gideon. We want to look at the spirit of God invested in him, for we have received the same spirit. God used Gideon to raise up an army for Israel. But you will see something. Gideon's army had three folds to it. Or rather, Gideon's army had three moves to it. Because in three moves, God was going to get, and God got, a pure and solid, invincible army for himself that could accomplish his purpose because the enemy knows where to pitch his tent. Brother, this battle was going to be one of a kind, but it was not going to be fought by the might of men, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I said, it was not going to be fought by power nor by might. It was going to be by the Spirit of the Lord, because that is what makes all the difference. In verse 33, we see the hosts of the enemy. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over, and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord, like this, came upon Gideon. From that time, it was no longer Gideon. I said, from that point on, it was no longer Gideon. It was the Spirit of the Lord in a man. I said it was more than a man. Not that the man was God. No. 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 The man was not God. But God, the Spirit of the Almighty God, took possession of a man. From that time, church, it was Elohim in the field of battle, ministering through a man. And church, that man was going to be the beginning point of the ministry. But the army of God for Israel was going to be called in three moves. Three moves will produce a perfect army. Are you listening to me? Because I want you to see beyond Gideon. I want you to see the Spirit of God, what God did on behalf of Israel in the day, to get an army that would accomplish a feat. And it is by the same process God is getting an army for himself, to accomplish a feat for the bride. We are in for the last kill. It will be a quick short walk. Brother, this ministry of the bride will tear down the kingdom of the devil and liberate God's own seeds by the power of truth. It is not for nothing when Paul said, the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but is mighty through God. He said, it is for what? To the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? Strongholds of deception. Strongholds of lies. It is given to set God's people free. There is no power that can liberate like the power of truth. That is why Christ said, you shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. There is no deliverance like the deliverance of truth. You can be oppressed of the devil, but if your soul is delivered by the power of truth, you are God's free man. Hallelujah. All the devil is doing is just touching your flesh, but your soul cannot be touched because your soul is free. And brother, only one thing can deliver the soul. It is not the prayer of a man. It is the power of truth. Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and it will set you free." There is nothing that delivers like the power of truth. That is why Paul said, "Our weapon is mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." He said, "To bring every high and proud thought, that is, to bring man's ideas, every proud and high look, every proud thought, every imagination of man contrary to truth, to the subjection of the word, to bring everything into subjection to truth." So, when you are looking at Satan's stronghold, you are looking at a cloud of darkness, falsehood, deception, untruth. But this army will go in there to liberate seeds, and only one thing can do it, truth. Nothing else can deliver us truth. That will lead me to say this, if you say a man is in error, and if a man is truly in error, and he does not recant, he has to go under. He must go under. I said, when a man is in error, and he does not recant, he must go under. It is the law of elimination. But if you say a man is in error, and you see him increase in revelation, and in spiritual stature, you are obviously the one in error. Check yourself. No man can be in error, and grow spiritual, will he? You cannot be in error, and increase in revelation. That is an impossibility. You are bound by virtue of your error, by the law of elimination, unless you repent. There is no positive increase in error. Only the law of decrease applies. The law of increase applies only in the ground of truth. Outside truth, there is no increase for anybody. I say that because they said Brother Suggs went down. How come God is lifting him up? How come God is helping us? How come we can have our stand in the Bible, and they cannot? You can call me a robber. I care less for that. I will not even respond for all that. That is carnality. The stand of a man shows who he is. Thank God for our stand. Yes. In this place, thank God for our stand. With truth, we are more than conquerors. Truth is what gives victory. We are more than conquerors, through him that loved us. What did the scripture say? It says, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It is the revelation faith of Jesus Christ that gives victory. That is what overcomes the world. With revelation of truth, there is nothing the devil can do. Nothing. He can only touch your flesh to try you. But that is just your flesh. The flesh is going down, but you, your soul, is going up. Hallelujah. There were many people that were delivered in the days of Christ. Many lepers came to be delivered, but none of them were in the upper room to receive eternal life. There is no deliverance like that of truth. That is the only thing that delivers your soul. A lot of people came, and devils were cast out of them, but none of them were in the upper room. Think about it. You think they were delivered. It was only their flesh that God delivered that day. Their soul was still bound, and they are on their way to hell. Nothing sets free like truth. Nothing. Nothing. It is therefore the place of the ministry to lift up truth, that you may know what truth is. Therein lies alive our security. It is our prosperity. It is the revelation of our God. It gives prevailing power. So here in the book of Judges, we see the Spirit of God. He took possession of Gideon. Watch. Verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And you know Brother Branham preached a message, the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpet speaks of the sounding of something in a type. When Gideon put that horn into his mouth and blew the trumpet, the first move, the first message, produced 32,000 men in the army. That first move of Gideon, by the Spirit of God, gave you the first move. And it set a type of the first move of the end time, by the Spirit of the Lord, through William Branham. 32,000 men came out of the tribes into the army of God. And it looked like God was going to use all these ones to do the work. But no. Elimination had to come because there had to be a second move for the ministry. Look at it, and he blew a trumpet, and Abijah was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and came up to meet them. Praise God. That lets you know men were stirred up in their heart. Are you listening to me? And God enlisted them in the army of the day. They were 32,000 solid men. But let us go to chapter 7 to continue the thought. Verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh, in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me. Remember, the first move, the initial move, produced 32,000. But God was not going to use these ones. He was only going to use the remnant, but it started with the mass that followed the message of the hour. The Bible continues, they are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and the remained 10,000. The journey for this army which God reduced in this battle started with 32,000 men. But church, God trimmed it down to 10,000. The Spirit of the Lord through Gideon told the people, whoever is afraid, go back home. And you know what? A lot of people followed Brother Branham up and believe bugged their soul. Unbelief. And a lot of people this morning in the continuity light following are afraid to leave their little cocoon. Well, I do not know where we will go if we leave. What is your problem? Fear has torment. The lake of fire is ordained for the fearful. Whatever fear will not allow you to move on with God is not a godly fear. It is demonic. Because there is no unknown, ogdak, way for God's children. There is a roadmap we walk by. For the just do not walk by their head. For example, they do not walk by their thinking or by their imagination. They walk by faith. They walk by revelation. We see in the scriptures the pathway God has charted out. So where comes the fear? When you can see God's blueprint and you know where your God is dealing, how come you have fear? Then it is either you need to go on your knees before God, or that you have been sidelined, because there is no basis for fear for God's elected seeds. The fearful and the unbelieving, the lake of fire is apportioned for them. That is what the book of Revelation says. So we do not need to be afraid. And you know, a lot of people sometimes feel, well, where will I do my marriage if I go? Oh well, who will perform a burial? Who is going to preach for my funeral service? Is that your problem? I remember when I was coming out of one message church to stand for truth, one of the brothers we had always stood together said, Brother Amos, if I leave, there is no other church in Lagos. Where am I going to do my marriage? I said, so that is your problem. I said, I will also ask you one question. The world answers, who ran to the mountains and lived in the wilderness to run away from the tyranny of Rome in order to stand for truth? Which church did they marry in? Which church did they marry in? They married in the mountains, right in the woods, with just a simple blessing. And that marriage was blessed of God because they stood for truth. But these are things that bog people down and cause people to compromise today. Why would I mind for such kind of things? Who cares for that? What I care for is standing for the truth of my God and saving my soul. Period. Who cares for where you marry? Who cares for who or how one is buried? Why do you worry about your carcass? The Lord will call for you, and you will come forth. Simple. So, what is your problem with burial as to make you compromise the revelation of life? I tell you, those things do not matter. When you are gone to glory, you are gone. It is just your carcass that remains here. And no matter what they do with it, the Lord will call you, and you will come forth. But these are things that bog people down And in the book of Judges, we see that a lot of people following the message of the hour had no faith. They had unbelief. They never really believed the message. They never believed. And God told Gideon, tell them, you who are unbelieving, go back. And 22,000 men went back. Thank God they went back. What an army of unbelievers. Thank God they did not go with Gideon. They would have brought defeat, because before they hear one shot, they would have run into hiding, crying, my mama, my mama, my mama. Unbelief is a stumbling block. You cannot go to war with unbelievers. Oh, Brother Amos, but we are all Israelites, you see. Let us all stand together. Not with unbelievers. Not with unbelievers. It will not work. It will cause problems. You cannot hold the camp together. It will not work. Unbelievers will always be a stumbling. Gideon said, whoever is faithful, let him return. And church, the camp became almost vacant. 22,000 men rose up, men who had unbelief in their heart, following the message of the hour, saying, the Lord called me into the army. The Lord called me into the ministry. But they were not stand for truth. Unbelief killed their ministry. And God told Gideon, though the men are gone, praise God, you still have a lot of hangers on in the ministry that need to go and must go. There came another move, a third move. Remember, the first trumpet produced 32,000 men. And God said, you are going to do something to thin down the crowd. Then Gideon gave a message. I said he gave a message. That message drove away 22,000. That was the second move. The first move produced 32,000 men in the ministry, potentially called out of denomination. Then he gave a message after that. The army thinned down to 10,000. 22,000 went home. But there was one more move, a last move, for God is perfect in three. It is what the Spirit of God did through Gideon, and it set a type of what God is doing at the very end of time in the ministry, the watchmen of the bride, the bride's army. Look at what happened here. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. But look at how many started out in the ministry with Gideon. Look at how many started with Brother Branham in the message. But how many men are faithful this morning? How many men are faithful this morning? All we see around is unfaithfulness. And when the second move of God came, the crowd was thinned down drastically. But unfortunately, the mass of people that made up the 10,000 were unfaithful men. And we see them in projection today. We see their unfaithful stand. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. We are also at the testing of water, and I will try them for the there. It was not even Gideon that was going to try them. It was God that was going to determine this thing, because the testing was going to be by God. May I say this, brothers and sisters, without a revelation, there is no way to pass God's test. And God's test comes in various colors, sizes, and shapes. You cannot tell. Revelation makes the difference. You know, there was a time when the issue of Brother Strowman dominated the scene. And people stood against Brother Jackson. They stood for friendship, only later to be proved wrong. After that incident, people made up their minds, I will never again stand for friendship. I stood against this church, for example Faith Assembly, and I was wrong. I will never do that again. I will never stand against Faith Assembly. Then God turned the table. God changed the Colorian shape. Because he saw the unrevelated attitude of people, for they had this attitude, I stood for an outsider against the in-house ministry, and I was wrong. I will not stand for an outsider anymore. I am going to stand for the in-house ministry. What they did not realize is this, at that time, the in-house ministry was right, because the standard bearer, the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, was on ground, upholding the standard of truth. As such, you had to stand with the ministry of Faith Assembly because of what God was doing in the day through that ministry. Brother Jackson bore the standard. He bore the standard of continuity truth. So, in the day, it was not a stand for a man. It was a stand for truth. But church, then God turned things completely the other way. This time around, God decided, all right, I will take away my voice. I will take away my instrument. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? A scenario will develop. An outside will be right, and the in-house ministry will be wrong. But because people stood for an outside the other time, and were wrong, they decided, well, we were wrong when we stood for an outsider. So I better stand for the insider this time around. But now, they were still wrong. What does that let you know? God switched cards. He turned the situation around. But because they stood for an outsider the first time, and they were wrong, so this time, automatically, they stood firmly for the insider. But now they were wrong again. What will our people do without revelation? Because God can change cards, brother, in ways that will beat your imagination, except He is also dealing with you. And it does not matter how God comes, brother, if God is dealing with you, you can spot the truth every time, right online. Why? Because you have your eyes on the scriptures. Because you are following a revelation. Having a revelation will let you know at any point in time what is according to truth and what is not the truth. Revelation makes the difference. It is not the smartness of anybody. It is revelation. It is the grace of God. You have got to stand on the revelation of the Word of God. Let us try and wrap this up. For Gideon's army, in God's sovereign will, 10,000 was still too much. And God said, bring them down unto the waters. Watch, and I will try them for the there. And it shall be, that of whom I say, not whom you say, unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. What does that let you know? The army is taken off from the hands of Gideon. It is strictly in the hands of God. Can I hear amen? That is why I said, the man God will use at this end time is not in anybody's hand. Nobody chooses them. God alone does. It is either you want God's will or you don't. Nobody chooses them. It is not based on who you like. You do not need to like the men. Just make sure you love truth. It is not about color either. I said it is not about color. If you look at color, you will miss the road. It is strictly about truth. Do not look at friendship. It is not about friendship. It is about truth. Do not look at family. It is not about family. It is about truth. God alone chooses these men. God alone does it. That is why I said, it is not in Brother Branham to choose them. Neither is it in Raymond Jackson to choose them. God alone chooses them. God alone chooses these men. God will get Himself faithful men. And God told Gideon, I will test them for you. I will tell you who will be in it, and who won't be in it, and you listen to me good. So it did not matter whether Gideon loved a particular brother or not. That had nothing to do with it. Gideon would have said, brother, I wish I could put you in this special ministry, but you see, it is off my hands. But you know I love you. But this army is God's army, and I have no choice in the election of the lead soldiers. Sorry, brother. And it did not matter that Gideon did not like a particular brother. It did not matter. The will of God is sovereign. God says He is in, He is in. So it had nothing to do with Gideon. It was strictly God's sovereign will. But Gideon rejoiced and fortified himself with God's perfect sovereign will. And I have to say, you are either ready to do God's will or not. Every man has a choice, because we all have human volition, a right to choose. But look at this army. God was going to test them, and He was going to test them by the water. And the water is a revelation of the Word of God. Church, because God was going to place men, strictly men that had been dealt with by His Spirit, into the army. So a test was coming, and the soldiers did not know a test was coming, because God never announces ahead of time, I am going to test you, I am going to test you, you better be careful. The test just comes in various ways. Oh my! God gave Gideon the cue. Even Gideon did not know who would end up in that army. But Gideon bore the standard. He bore the truth for that day. But he did not know who would make up this elite army. It is important we get this picture, because God is doing it exactly like that today. I have a reason for going in here. because as God raised an army for Gideon, it is the same way He's doing it today for the bride. Remember, our Gideon is Jesus Christ by His Spirit. Are you listening to me? It is the Holy Spirit today, which was in Gideon, moving to get himself an army of faithful watchmen for the bride of Christ, for the last kill. It is a quick short walk, just a few short days, but it will be a powerful ministry and a power-packed ministry. They will walk with heaven directly behind them. When they go with heaven's resources with them. They will not go in their strength. So it is not going to be just men. It will be God in men. So the Lord told him, I will test them for you. Just go down there. I will give you a sign. Verse 5. So he brought down the people onto the water. Even Gideon at that point did not know what was going to happen. As such, he could not even give it to his best friend, even if he wanted to. Are you listening to me? He could not even give it to his best friend who desired the ministry. God alone rules this kingdom. God alone does. Brother Soggs, when I read about men jostling in the days of Brother Branham, and I saw men jostling for the ministry in the days of Brother Jackson, I just smiled, because I realized God alone is the one that determines who will be what in this ministry, and who will make it eventually into the substantive ministry. Brother Jackson is not going to put anybody in a position, or in any position. God alone rules this thing. Oh my! Verse 5. So he brought down the people onto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. God just said, Set him aside. Gideon still did not know who was going to make it into the army, but God gave him a sign. And brothers, Gideon stood there watching with his hands crossed. He said, Brothers and sisters. He said, Brothers. Sorry, there were no sisters there that day. You understand? You know we have no sisters in the faithful ministry either. But we have sisters, wonderful sisters you are, in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Without you, we are not complete. You know that. We need you, and we love you. And Gideon took them there, and told them what they were required to do. But he did not tell them God was going to test them. That was a faithful man. He said, Brothers, soldiers of the Lord, we have a long way to go, and it is a hard fight. Brethren, you need water. You better drink now, because you might not have the time again. Oh my! Every man was left to the revelation moving his life. Every man was left to who was dealing with him. Every man was left strictly to the dealership of the Spirit, because no man knew what God demanded of them. They all knew they had to drink, but they did not know there was a certain way they had to drink. No one knew there was a particular way they had to drink, but all knew they were under commandment to drink. Little did they realize how they drank would be the determining factor. Then, whoever God would employ in that army, for the last kill, would be a man, in whom the Sovereign, Eternal Spirit, had put a picture in his heart, an inspiration from on high, as to how to approach the water, and drink. Every man in Gideon's army, was a man that had to have the revelatory unction of God upon his life and ministry, a personal revelatory dealing of God, if he was to eventually make it into this army. The requirement is not different today. I re-emphasize, every man that was going to end up in this army had to be a man that had his own spiritual antenna tuned to heaven. Church, he was not receiving from Gideon. He was receiving direct from the very source Gideon had his instruction. I said the Spirit dealing with Gideon also had to be dealing with the men ordained for that army. Every man had to have his spiritual antenna wired to heaven. That is how it was then, and that is how it is going to be today. There is no man that the ministry would have to run over and tell, Brother, this is how you have got to stand. If that is the case, God is not dealing with you. You are not going to be in this army. You are not. There is a divine unction, an inspiration from on high. Each and every man ordained for this army must have, equipping them for this great job. Each and every one must, and will have, a true revelation. Gideon did not tell them how to drink. Gideon did not determine who drank. God alone determines all those things. Gideon did not give them the revelation. It was in God's hand alone. Every man was brought to the water, and every man was left with who was dealing with him. Every man was left with the revelation he had in his heart. God said, "Act it out. Let us see it. Let us see the revelation you have, the understanding you have, by your stand. Make your stand. What revelation have you got? Let us see it." Church, a lot of people threw down their weapons. Oh, you know, brother, this war will be very long and fierce. I better drink as much as I can now. They laid down the truth because of their belly. They looked at the Midianites. They were like the hosts of heaven, like the sand of the sea, mighty army, innumerable. Without any unction of the Spirit, without any revelation, they went off on a tangent, killing themselves with the letter of the water of truth. Brother, they left their weapon on the floor, thinking, "I think I need more," instead of holding to the sword of the Spirit. And God was watching everybody. And as each man was drinking, Gideon was putting him aside, because the Lord simply told him to separate them. God did not tell him as yet which group he chose. Oh, let me also say to you, we do not know who the men are for this love original ministry. We only know those whom God has already manifested by the revelation they bear. And as each man is making his own stand, we can tell, this is an apostle. We can tell, this is this, and this is that. We can tell, but church, apostles come on first. I said the apostles come on first. That lets you see, the first people to make a stand, the first people that would make a stand, and that would know where truth stands, men that would know where to stand, and where the truth lays, and none other than apostles. Brother Amos wants it stated that you should not stumble on that statement, because you can also take it into an extreme, because not everyone that makes an early stand will be an apostle. It takes much more than that to be an apostle. But we do not know where they will come from, whether from the Philippines, from Africa, from Singapore, Asia, America, Europe. It is the revelation these men will bear that word let us know who makes up the Gideon army of today. Because Gideon also speaks of leadership. Gideon also gives you the head, because Gideon led these people to the water. I said, Gideon gives you the head, because Gideon led the whole army to the water, and to the battle. The head is not one man. Oh my! But the revelation they possess makes them Gideon for the bride. And church, look at it. Verse 5, so he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that poeth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. What happened here? Each person acted out their revelation that motivated his life. Each man played out the revelation in his heart. Because there was no instruction other than for them to simply drink, because the war was going to be long and hard. But each one drank as he was inspired. Church, only 300 men drank by inspiration, for example acceptably, and passed the test. 9,700 men failed the test. Only 300, out of the 10,000 men that came out of the men that were produced by the second move, made it eventually in the army. Only 300 was dealt with by the Spirit of God, and each man had a personal relationship with the Lord in that day. Every man that made it, each of the 300 men, were men that had their antenna in tune to heaven. They were men that had a relationship with the Lord. They were men that God dealt with revelatorily, as an individual, on an individual basis. They were men that had a revelation, an inspiration within them. They knew how to drink. What made the difference in their lives? Grace. The ordination of God. It was not their smartness. Because do not forget, they could have drank like the other ones, but there was just that inspiration that came up in their heart, unctioning them. No, do not go on your knees. Hold to your sword and lap with alertness. That was God. That was inspiration. Because you should not forget, it was God proving the men. So an inspiration had to come from God that put an understanding in these 300 that were elected, making them not do like the rest, who were also called. Yet, When they were doing it, they did not know they were fulfilling God's will. They did not know it was a test. They passed the test by inspiration. It was just inspiration. But look at what happened here in verse 7. Now the Lord gave his verdict, and the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Watch the next clause, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Gideon could not bind them together in the army. That would be contrary to God's will. I say, he could not bind them together. God said, Let them go. Many are called, but few are elected. 9,700 men had to carry their weapons and go back home. That was the final separation. You could not hold them together out of carnal love, because God himself brought the separation, because God was looking for men he himself had raised up, men he himself had been dealing with, men that he had given an inspiration, a revelation, and men he knew would do just his will, because they were humble men, yielded men, men without ambition, men who desired nothing but the will of God, men who loved the Lord, and loved the brotherhood, and men who would give their lives to preserve the bride, because they will serve only God's purpose. May I say this, without a true revelation, there is nobody that will make it into this army, without divine revelation. I said, without a true divine revelation, there will be no man in the live original efficient ministry, for there will definitely not be men that you have to run over, to open their eyes, to make them see the truth. I have to say, if you do not already see for yourself, under God, you just cannot be there. I said, there will be no one running over men, to make them see, or to make them stand. Every man will have a touch from on high, because it was not Gideon saying, Brother, please do not go on your knees, do not do this and that. Just lap, lap, lap. Oh my! Those that lapped, lapped because they were inspired. Those that did not lap, did not lap because they were not inspired. So they were left with their carnal reasoning. But we do not reason. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by reasoning. We walk by revelation. This is the last kill. Church and 9,700 men were separated from the true ministry. What a number. Let us look back now. This army started out with 32,000. By the time God made three moves, it produced a cream of 300 elite soldiers. Read the rest of Gideon. Go and see the war. Go and see perfect unity in the field of battle. Go and see men following divine instruction and leadership in the field of battle. There is no time for it, but you read it. Go and look at the war Gideon fought and won with those 300 faithful, dedicated, and humble men. There was no schism. There was no argument on any issue. There was no jostling. There was no infighting. There was no jealousy, no envy. There was no rebellion either. There was perfect harmony. There was synchronized walking. Brother, there was a free flow of revelation, and a unity, and a grace, and a power. Church. Oh my! They made mince before the enemy. The victory they wrought that day was wonderful. It was a supernatural victory, for it was a battle fought by the supernatural leadership and anointing of the Almighty God. Read the rest of it. And that reminds me of this army we are talking about this morning, the original efficient army. We do not know who they are. Gideon did not know who would make it, but he knew each man would have to be a man that God was dealing with directly. We do not know who the men will be in the fivefold. Where are they? Brother Amos, they are in the truth. But one by one, as each man is being dealt with by God, church, coming to the water of the word, they will be making a stand for truth. Because brother, the trumpet is going on right now. The trumpet of continuity truth. One by one, out of obscurity, men will be coming out. Men that God has put revelation in their heart. Men with a vision. Men that love truth with all that is within them. Men with a purpose. Extremely humble men, faithful men, men that have no secrets or personal motives or ambition, men that will not compromise when the chips are down. They are men that God had to run after to get them. Sometimes God catches their leg, and they fall down, and they still want to run from the ministry. Then God catches their hand, you know, and he says, "My son, you keep running." But eventually, God catches them at his appointed hour, when his hour comes. God only allows a man to run so far, but all that is to give him an experience. And all that also allows you to see the sincerity of his heart, because it lets you know he has no ambition. It lets you see the purity of his heart. How else would you know that somebody has a pure heart when you see him run all his life? And you know, now that he's in the ministry, he is in it, not to make a name, but to serve the Lord, out of a pure heart. He has been running all his life. It takes humble people. God is not looking for big people. He is not even looking for people with capacity. He is looking only for people that are yielded, simple people, people that are revelated, and that will do his will, not people that always have a selfish motive. They are men that bear a true understanding of the word. That is why Brother Jackson used to say, "You want to be in the ministry." He said, "Study. You have to study. We have got to study. We have got to know what the truth is, and we have got to know where truth lays. If we do not know, we cannot make the right stand. If we do not know, we will go with our carnal reasoning. If we do not know, we will even stand against God's will, because we won't see what God is doing. It takes a revelation. This morning, brother, like Brother Suggs also said, you are seeing the beginning of something. There is no smoke going on. There is no fire or earthquake. But it is God in simplicity speaking to his people, that we may see what God has mapped out for us for today, that we may know which way we are to go. And I can say this morning, there is no stand I have back home in Nigeria that Brother Suggs does not have here in Calhoun. And it is not because we spoke on the phone and agreed, see, brother, this is how we are supposed to stand. Gideon did not do that. I said, Gideon did not do that. Each man had it from God. But the beauty of it is this, what each man had synchronized with that which the other man ordained for it also had. I said, what each man had synchronized with what the other men ordained to be in the same army had. You are not getting me. I said, what each man had, it harmonized with what another brother had, a brother who was also ordained to be in that army, because it is by the same Spirit. They bore a perfect and harmonious revelation that lets you know, I cannot help a brother, and he cannot help me, to get into this army. It has got to be God. It has got to be by inspiration. It has got to be divine leadership. Let me say this, the ministry, quietly, slowly, but surely, is coming together. The ministry of the bride, surely, quietly, on a strict basis of the truth, is now coming together. But God is starting first with the apostles. He is starting first, I'll say it again, with the apostles. He is starting first with the head that does not lift up any man's flesh. But apostles will not be abracadabra. God is starting something that lets us know we can see the blueprint. I said we can see the blueprint. It took a third move to produce Gideon elite army. There was a William Branham. So many were in the ministry in the days of his flesh. So we thought. Then there was a Raymond Jackson, and the crowd of ministry thinned down. But yet, it was still a mass of people in the ministry, so to say. Then God called home Raymond Jackson. What is it today? Now we have a John. And all the bride will be left with is 300 men of Gideon. The 9,700 must go home. They must step aside, for lack of true revelation. Church, the 9,700 men must go home. They have been dispossessed of a potential calling. They will not be in this army for the bride. Only revelated and anointed men will make it. Only 300 men will make it, in its end time figurative application, for the last kill. Remember that. I do not say the men will be 300. I use that only figuratively. Also, I am telling you to compare 300 men to the 32,000 that started out initially in this ministry. What a thinning down of men. The ministry will not be tiny penny. There will be a small army. They are a small army, a small but invincible army of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. May I tell you this? In order to be blessed by this ministry, You will have to submit yourself unreservedly to the rulership of truth, and you will also have to look for where truth, continuity truth, is being preached. But by the time God puts the apostolic head together, it is a wake-up call for the other men, the men ordained for the other folds of the ministry. Each man ordained of God for this ministry will come to the water to make his stand. He will come to the water to make his stand as God uses truth to pull his people together. None of them will be ashamed of the testimony of Christ, no matter what it will cost them, no matter the sacrifice they have to make, and none will sell out the truth for popularity, money, position, family, friendship, or ambition. They will all make their stand for the continuity truth of Jesus Christ for this day and hour, and it will be a firm, categorical, and unwavering stand, with the apostles on ground. Here come the prophets, here come the evangelists, here come the pastors, here come the teachers. Together, they make up the head over the entire universal bride of Christ. For the head of the universal bride is the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4. The headship of Christ over the universal bride is expressed through the fivefold ministry. And may I say this, they will not run all over creation trying to perfect the bride. They will not. And neither will the bride be perfected by an internet ministry. It will be a live ministry, just as it was in the early church and as depicted in the book of Acts. Brother, let me tell you this, the apostolic ministry. The rest of the message is missing on the audio tape from this point on, as indicated on the opening page. The following has been written by Brother Remus and built in to make up the balance of the total thought of this message. Brother Remus continued, Brother, let me tell you this, the apostolic ministry, being the inspired writers and guardians of the pure revelation faith of Christ, the fathers of faith, and the head of the fivefold ministry, will be a live roving ministry, but they will not be going from house to house. The Spirit of God will move them from place to place, for example from nation to nation, to deal with the bride universal in her various localities, in order to motivate and lead the bride efficient ministry around the world. In this last move, we join as a standard bearer and lead apostle. As such, in this hour of John, we will have the complete apostolic head and the complete and entire folds of the fivefold ministry fully established and positioned over the universal bride. For perfection, they will speak as one man, according to Isaiah 50 to verse 8, with total and unbroken unity, lifting up the continuity truth of Jesus Christ, the message of the hour. Each man will recognize and submit to headship, not out of compulsion, but out of pure love for God and for truth, and with humility. The ministry will work and function as one unit, in total harmony, as in Gideon's army, and the Spirit of Christ will fill her to the brim with every divine attribute of grace, and with the gifts of the Spirit, and the bride will be a perfect and untainted reflection of Jesus Christ. This is today's Gideon and me. Remember, our Gideon is the Holy Spirit in the ministry. She will accomplish great feats, for it will be the Spirit of Christ in her, working his wonders, performing his feats, fulfilling his word, and bringing about the open display of the miraculous in order to confirm the word, and also to show to the world that Jesus is still alive, and he is the same, yesterday, today and forever. Perfection is for now, and it will be accomplished in this third and final move. And my brothers, the move is on. I say that with all humility and sincerely. But I must emphasize that this original efficient ministry will not be going from house to house, perfecting people. No. It therefore means God will create conditions for people to honestly seek a local assembly where their soul can be truly dressed, an assembly standing firmly for the continuity truth of Christ, or they will have to relocate if they are to survive and if they are to attain the image of Christ in order to get ready for the rapture. This will be their personal sacrifice for all that the Lord has done for them. But I must add that as in the first church age, you will have some assemblies also holding in homes over which God will set a pastor. But with perfection accomplished, the true bride is then set for the rapture, whilst the false bride increase unto more ungodliness and are left behind to face the Antichrist. as they go into outer darkness. God then will put the true bride on open display before the world through the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and by the open, visible display of the miraculous, the supernatural, in the ministry, and also in every local bride assembly. Out of obscurity, here comes again the church in the book of Acts, reproduced at this same time, standing in its beauty and glory. This is the true bride, the only bride Christ is coming back for, the original POC church. And I must say, as the book of Acts centered, first on the ministry of the chief apostle to the Jews, Peter, and as it subsequently centered on the ministry of the chief apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, after the Gentiles are brought in, so will the projection of the Spirit center on the lead apostle of this very hour, the John of today, by virtue of the continuity of truth he bears to wrap up the dealing of God with the Gentile bride, as she acts out the last chapter of the book of Acts, showing she is ready to leave this world. She will leave this world with a marvelous and an incredible but true witness. This now leads me to the seven thunders. The bride of Christ, being then in a ready position for the rapture, by virtue of the perfecting effect of the fivefold ministry, Christ will break the seventh and final seal at that time and slip to the earth in the Spirit to anoint seven men with a serious prophetic anointing of seven thunders, a ministry also laid out on the chart in order to prophetically instruct the bride, the perfected bride, for the rapture event itself. This takes us straight to the book of Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Let me say this. In 1963, the Lord Jesus broke the first six seals on this book, which is actually a scroll, leaving only the seventh seal intact and unbroken. The seventh seal is the very end of time seal, and that is the only seal that is holding Christ on the mediatorial throne today, as we speak. And once Christ breaks the seventh seal, he must leave the throne, for it leaves the scroll, which is the scroll of redemption, a fully opened scroll. But as long as there is one unbroken seal on it, the scroll is not fully opened, and his intercessory days must continue until all the predestinated seeds of God, whose names are on the scroll, are fully interceded for. But notice, in 1963, the Lord conveyed the revelation of the first six seals to the prophet, and through him, the bride of Christ was given the same revelation in the month of March. Only one seal was left intact, according to the testimony of Brother Branham on the day he took the seventh and final seal. But also notice, as long as there is one seal remaining on that scroll, the scroll is not fully opened. But when the seventh seal is broken, it becomes a fully open scroll. And where do you see Christ go? In the Spirit, with the fully open scroll. You see him next in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It means, in essence, once you read chapter 8, verse 1, you have to place it on top of chapter 10, verse 1. You move straight to chapter 10, verse 1, to get the continuing move of Christ, with the open scroll still in his hand. We will take chapter 8 verse 1 again, and slot it on top of chapter 10 verses 1 to 6, to get the full picture. And when he, Christ, had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Revelation 10 verse 1 reads, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." This is Christ now in angelic form, the angel of the covenant, the one that stood at judgment. He is manifesting here in the spirit realm, and not in the physical, and hence his projection as a mighty angel. And he had in his hand a little book open, the scroll of redemption, now fully opened. The fully opened scroll connects this chapter with chapter 8 verse 1. "And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." This speaks of the universal application the manifestation of Christ in the Spirit will have on the universal bride. "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth." Christ is sounding forth a serious message here in the Spirit, producing the voice of the archangel, having accomplished his purpose of getting a bride ready. "And when he had cried," in other words, after Christ cried, that is, after Christ had uttered a serious message in the spirit realm, 7. Plural, thunders. Plural, thunders being the prophetic name for this specific ministry. Uttered, spoke forth there. Plural pronoun, voices, messages. I do not care where you look at in the Bible. One thing is certain, undeniable, and unquestionable. Voices mean messages. And since we know angels do not preach, these seven voices have to be the voices or messages of seven anointed men of God with a prophetic anointing. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. John was about to write what? He was about to write the message the seven thunders gave. And I had a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. This makes the message of the seven thunders an unwritten message. It is a message buried only in the mind of God, for John was forbidden to write the message they uttered. That makes their message unwritten truth, unwritten prophetic truth. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Not that time is over, but it should wrap up. This gives you a small wrap-up period before the rapture. Now we will consider verse 7, which forms the basis for the fulfillment of this entire chapter. In fact, if we take out verse 7 from this chapter, it will not disturb the flow of the thought projection of the entire chapter, because at any rate, you have to skip verse 7 and go to verse 8 in order to continue the prophetic thought projection verses 1 to 6 gives you. But all that God accomplishes at this end time and in this chapter is accomplished based upon what God used the prophet to this age to set in motion on behalf of the bride of Christ. Hence verse 7 states, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, for example when his message begins to be published around the earth, the mystery of God, singular mystery, the grafting in of the Gentiles into the tree of life, should be finished, completed, as he, God, hath declared to his servants the prophets. Verses 1 to 6 of Revelation chapter 10 therefore gives you the ministry of the seven thunders. It is strictly a prophetic ministry of seven faithful men, strategically positioned around this globe, to deal effectively with the perfected bride, for a short period of time, of about 30 figurative minutes. And as the fivefold ministry was used to perfect the bride, so will the seven thunders be used to instruct her prophetically concerning the rapture events specifically. This is the final phase of the bride ministry, a phase of remove, that will still have John as a standard bearer and lead apostle. And as Brother Jackson pointed out, and as also indicated on the chart, the seven thunders will come out not from the laity, but from the ranks of the ministry, the efficient fivefold ministry, in order to deal with the bride prophetically, a bride, who have been perfected by the fivefold ministry. And once they deliver their divine prophetic instructions, posting us fully for the rapture, the true bride will bask in the pool of hidden, divine, unwritten revelations, deep unwritten truths, buried in the mind of God through time, for a few days, as she is put on display before the world. But before the devil can touch her, off she goes in the rapture, never again to be seen, until she comes back with Jesus Christ, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. She will then make her appearance in the sky, as she makes her glorious and majestic descent, with Christ in the lead, as revealed in the book of Revelation chapter 19, from verse 11. In closing, I have to say, nobody but the true bride will hear the message of the seven thunders. That is one ministry that cannot be impersonated, because it bears unwritten truths, a truth that can only be borne by divine supernatural impartation of the Spirit. The seven thunders will have it, by virtue of the supernatural prophetic anointing they will receive. And none but the true bride can appropriate the truth the seven thunders will bear. That is one message reserved exclusively for the glorification of the true bride. Unveiled before you, by the grace of God, is the plot, the move of God for the bride, from the beginning of God's move for her in this seventh age to its very end. The plot gives you the various junctions of time, strictly for the bride, In this last age, and these junctions of time, introduce a minor messenger to this age, apart from the star messenger. We know there are only seven church ages, and there are only seven star messengers, but there has always been various junctions of time within the church ages, right from the first church age, which give you minor messengers. In the first church age, the star messenger was Apostle Paul, but his death in 66 AD moved the church to another junction of time, when God had to lift up John, one of the 12 apostles to the Jews, as a standard bearer and lead apostle to the Gentiles. After Paul, ever before the church moved into the second church age, and ever before the star messenger to the second church age, Saint Irenaeus, was put in place. That made Apostle John the minor messenger to the first church age. This cannot be denied. Also, after Martin Luther, the star messenger to the fifth church age went off the scene. The church came through to junctions of time. Ever before the star messenger to the sixth church age, John Wesley, was set in place. This gave us two moves of God, first through John Calvin, and next through John Knox, men who brought the standard of truth in their respective junctions of time, giving us the truth of election and predestination, and of the doctrine of the eternal security of a Holy Ghost-filled believer, respectively. I ask, what would you call them? Minor messengers to their age. You cannot deny that. And when we come to the opening of this seventh and final age, God first raised up a man, William Seymour, to bear the old message, that is, the truth of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and its attendant gifts. This produced the Pentecostal movement ever before the prophet to this age was put in place. But that was the first junction of time in this seventh and final age, and who can deny the place of William Seymour as a minor messenger? But time moved to the post-World War II years, and the prophet was slotted in place, strictly for the end-time bride, with the end-time message, as a star messenger to this age. His death in December of 1965, however, moved the bride to another junction of time, when God anointed the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, to bear the standard of truth as a minor messenger to our age. He brought continuity to the message of Elijah. But notice, all these moves, each and every one of them, was in furtherance of God's plan of salvation. With it, God's plan of salvation was moved up a notch. You must understand, until God gets a bride for Christ, He will keep moving to get a bride. And in December of 2004, Brother Jackson passed off the scene, bringing the bride to another junction of time, still within this seventh age, when God had to anoint the John of this hour. Also, as a minor messenger to this last age, to bear the standard of truth, the standard of continuity truth, for the bride of Christ. This is the third and final move of God to get a bride in this last age, a move which God started with William Branham, and the lead ministry role of John remains right through the thunders and into the rapture. This is the last move, and you must see the plot. If you do not see the plot, you will not move on. And if you do not move on, you will not make it. And if you do not make it, you will certainly be here to face the Antichrist and go into outer darkness. Only the bride will make it, for only the true bride will move on. Moreover, Revelation is strictly shed for seeds. The showdown is coming. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But one thing is definite. Things are getting better, and our pathway is obviously getting brighter. It is the doing of the Lord, and to Him alone be the glory. But let us stay in the light, because from truth. All things laid out in this message will come forth from truth. Everything comes, the ministry comes from truth. Transformation comes from truth. Perfection comes from truth. The supernatural comes from truth. And translation, it comes from truth. Outside the truth of Jesus Christ, we have nothing and can accomplish nothing. You must see the plot. If you do not see the plot, you will be left behind. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. May the Lord bless you. Amen.